May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is Christ the King Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the season of Pentecost. It is the last of seeing green for a long time. So today we have white for Christ the King, which is, if you will, a transitional Sunday between two major seasons of the church. White standing for resurrection, for hope, for the purity of Christ. As we prepare to move next Sunday into the holy season of Advent, where the church becomes adorned in Advent blue and Advent purple. It's the final Sunday of the calendar year for the church, and we begin next week a new church year. And the overall theme today is a simple one. It is that at the end of the world as we know it, the reign of God through Jesus Christ will be victorious. That even though we don't know what that will look like, we know that Christ will be victorious, and that which was begun in creation at the genesis of time will be brought to perfection. And Christ will reign. And you and I have been living our span of years in this time of moving towards the kingdom of God in its fullness. Our hymns today, our readings, and our prayers all point to the words, or the question, if you will, of Pontius Pilate to Jesus in today's gospel, where he says to Jesus, as Jesus stands before him, "So you are a king." It is interesting to note that this gospel passage is that which we read during Holy Week. It is the passage that we read on not only Palm Sunday, but also on Good Friday. It is Jesus being ultimately sentenced to his death, but at that moment being asked the question by Pontius Pilate, "You are a king." And the paradox of this gospel is that in the midst of the imagery that we have before us today of this great and glorious throne of Jesus Christ, Jesus stands himself like you and like me being judged. He's being judged before the Roman Empire, and he's being judged by his own people, the Jews. And so we try and put together, if you will, these two images of judgment, this glorious throne of Christ that one day we will stand before in our own judgment, and this Jesus Christ, this Jesus as one of us, standing to be judged before humanity himself. Jesus we see here as the Jesus that we can identify with in our humanness, in our need, if you will. So Jesus answers Pilate, "You say that I am a king, and for this I was born. I came into the world to testify to the truth." And so we can hear in today's gospel the prophetic voice of that which we will hear in Advent, of Jesus' coming into the world in the incarnation as an infant. It points us to the season of waiting to celebrate the birth of Christ. But the question for us today is, where is the essence of Christ's kingship? Is it in that glorious throne? Or is it to be found, perhaps, in the ordinary, in human need? For me, Matthew 25 speaks perhaps most clearly to Jesus's kingship. When he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, I was a stranger and you welcomed me, I was naked and you gave me clothing, I was sick and you took care of me, I was in prison and you visited me." These are the words of the one that we profess to be our King. And at first glance, these words call us to task for living in a society which allows children to go hungry, people to live in the streets, often isolates the physically and mentally ill, and often shows no mercy to the imprisoned. However, beyond that, Jesus dramatically calls our attention to the fact that as he proclaims these needs, as he cries out for help through these people, Jesus is himself proclaiming his kingship and that which you and I will someday be judged by. A week ago, I was downtown for a meeting, and evening had come, and it was a bit chilly, and I still don't know my way around downtown Lexington that well. And a man, probably in his 30s, approached me. I was in collar. We're always an easy target, if you will. We're easily identifiable. And this gentleman came up to me, and he was very unkempt and very much a person in need, probably has had an incredible life with lots of hardship. An immediate question as he asked me for money that came to mind, and he said it was to eat, was, "If I give him some cash, will he purchase food, or will he purchase drugs, or will he purchase alcohol with it?" And there was nothing right near me to be able to get him something to eat, to take care of that question. And so I remembered the words of a priest who's now gone to God, a senior priest to me in my former diocese of Atlanta, who said to me, "Philip, always err on the side of mercy." I'm sure it's something that you've done many times. And so I did. And when you do that, you have to ask yourself the question, was that Christ? Could that have been Jesus? Christ would say yes, whether in reality that was Christ or whether as a representative of the kingdom of God in his need, he was Jesus. "Lord, when did we see you that way?" they ask him. And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." It's a radical message of Christ that is when we embrace the neighbor in need, despite his or her honesty about that need, we encounter the humanness and the divinity, the kingship, if you will, of Jesus Christ. You see, God has informed us that judgment is real. Indeed, it will take place one day. And I think what we will be judged by, this Christ, the King we profess, is this kind of responding. Each Sunday we profess, in just minutes we will do it again in the Nicene Creed, that he ascended into heaven. Jesus ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and Jesus' kingdom will have no end. However, that judgment is also in the present moment. The cries for help in the faces of despair of our neighbors are not ones that we should just respond to in the season of Thanksgiving. They're ones that we should respond to every day that God has blessed us with life. As we hear with our ears and see with our eyes, we become the voice and the sight of Jesus Christ in the world. Recognizing when God is addressing you is not always easy. A little humor in the midst of this. I just recently read an anecdotal story by Bill Moyers, who, when he was special assistant to President Lyndon Johnson, he was asked to say grace at a dinner at the White House. Now, those of you that are old enough, I'm not, to have been an adult during his presidency, I was not. But I'm a lot older than many of you here today. But I do remember from my parents saying Johnson was a pretty kind of outspoken, loud kind of individual, just, you know, sort of out there with his personhood. No matter what you thought about his presidency, he was a character. Well, he said to Bill Moyers, as Bill was praying, he interrupts him and he says, "Speak up, Bill, speak up." And Moyers, you may not know, is a former minister from Texas, and he stopped in mid-sentence, and without looking up, he said, "I wasn't addressing you, Mr. President." Sometimes we're not sure when we are addressing Jesus or God. Our pictures of Christ as King are at the same time one where Jesus sits on that heavenly throne, probably an image we had since a child, and yet one where he is among us, where he meets us as that hungry person, or is a sick friend lying in a hospital bed whom we visit, or is a lonely person during this holiday season, or is an imprisoned inmate whom we encounter. All of these pictures, all of these places, are where we find Jesus Christ. And I believe that Christ is poignantly showing us that judgment and mercy go together. As you show mercy, so shall you be judged. It's really not that hard. We tend to make it very complicated. Our God is a loving God. Our God is an accepting God. Our God is a merciful God. Our God wants the same from us. To respond to those in need is to respond to Jesus. And when we do so, we respond closest to the heart and the compassion of God. I leave you with these words from English poet and dramatist William Shakespeare, who once said, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute to God himself." May we today know Jesus as not only our King, but as the one who teaches us to respond with mercy and love. Amen.